Hello, this is Father Michael Eads from the Toronto Oratory, and you're listening to Lectio et Oratio, a short spiritual reading podcast followed by a reflection.
The Life of St. Philip Neri by Antonio Galonio, Book 1, Section 3. As a youth, he leaves his fatherland. Our Holy Father was eager for the perfection of the Gospel, even at the age of 15, and was encouraged by the example of the saints to endure all hardships with patience. When he caught a fever, he took it so lightly that you would not believe. He did not try to find any cure for the disease, and never told anyone that it was troubling him. Only one of his woman relations noticed that Philip was in need of help, and gave him the care he would not ask for. As long as he lived in Florence, it was not possible that his virtues could be concealed behind the walls of his room or in the obscurity of his home. His reputation spread from the family dwelling into the light of Florence, and he was spoken about in front of the leading citizens, having called him Good Pippin as a child. In his teens, they called him Decent Philip. It followed later on that when a few rumors reached Florence about the good he was doing in Rome, his fellow citizens talked about him, saying, "Why, should we be surprised about that? We saw what he was like when he lived here, and how he always behaved with decency, love, and devotion in all circumstances." This led them to ask for the help of his prayers. When he was 18, his father, Francesco, sent him to his uncle, Romolo, who lived in Campania, in a town called San Germano, at the foot of Monte Cassino. He sent him there not only in order that he might join him in business, but in the hope that he might be named heir to his uncle's vast riches. Apart from Philip, he had no other relation, and was so rich that the total of his capital amounted to 22,000 gold pieces. But Philip only stayed there a few days, fearing to injure his conscience, for he had in mind a much more valuable and influential line of business. He left his uncle and everything else for the sake of Christ, for though he was rich, he wanted to make himself poor for our sake. It was in the year of Christ's birth, 1533, that he betook himself to Rome, where he could be free, and with an unburdened mind, devote all his thoughts and concerns to God alone. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Angels of God, our guardians dear, to whom God's love commits us here, ever this day be at our side, to light and guard, to rule and guide. Amen. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, teacher of teachers, have mercy on us. Saint Philip Neri, gentle guide of youth, apostle of Rome, vessel of the Holy Ghost, counselor of popes, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We noticed 2 nights ago about the hidden grandparents in St. Philip's life. We talked last night about the hidden teachers in his life. And tonight, Father Galonio draws attention to an unknown, unnamed female relation of St. Philip, who, when he had a very serious fever, gave him the help he needed. She noticed what was wrong with him and helped him. We don't know how serious the fever it was, if she saved his life or not, but certainly she looked after him, she helped him. And sometimes in the life of saints, we read about things that are a little bit mysterious. So here, I want to ask, well, Philip, why didn't you ask for some help? And there's various ways to understand these kind of behaviors of the saints. Father Galonio puts it in the context of his desire for the perfection of the gospel and his desire for patience. And when we read in books like The Spiritual Combat about the importance of seizing opportunities for patience, if you really have a chance to be patient, to undergo some sadness without complaining, without becoming angry, without making it known, there is some good spiritual advice about seizing those. Now, one has to have prudence, because you could mistakenly seize on some opportunity which is way beyond your strength, which the Lord's not asking you to make. And so one always has to distinguish in the lives of the saints whether a certain action was inspired by the Holy Spirit, whether it was rightly understood. And so in this case, we don't really have enough information to know exactly about Philip, but it's also worth noting that sometimes in our zeal, especially when we're younger, especially when the beginning of our deeper conversion, sometimes we do things that later on we think, oh, that wasn't exactly balanced or prudent. That's all a way of saying that we're going to encounter things in Philip's life that sometimes will be hard to understand, and there are possible explanations to it. Secondly, it's very, very crucial that we fix in our minds that Philip is from Florence, and that for a long time, Florence was governed by the Medici family, that powerful family. They were, for a while, kicked out in favor of this reform party led by this amazing Dominican Savonarola that St. Philip was very attached to. The city itself was sacked in 1527 when Philip was 12 by soldiers coming from the emperor on his way to Rome. But in 1531, the Medici, it seems, came back to power, and the city changed political hands, and Philip's family seems to have been not in sympathy with the Medici. So that's part of why Philip probably wanted to leave. We don't know. Philip burned everything. We have none of his notes, none of his diaries. He burned everything. So we're left to extrapolate. But we can never forget that there is a background to St. Philip, that he did have political sympathies, that life in Florence was very difficult. There were wars being waged, huge political battles being fought. And so when Philip is 18, Glonio says, his father says, let's get out of here. Partly because his father, we know from other sources, lost his everything. But Philip goes to see this uncle. Now, this Glonio calls him an uncle. He's not really an uncle. He's a cousin, but cousin of his father. So it's uncle in a broad sense. And Glonio says he stayed there only a few days. Now, other biographers later on say it's 3 years. So either Glonio is telescoping stuff for us, saying it's a few days, the way the Bible sometimes will telescope things down, you know, 1,000 years are like one day with the Lord. So a few days could mean years, but probably Glonio may have actually known this. And it's quite possible that St. Philip very quickly saw that this business life was not for him. Now, one of the most intriguing parts of St. Philip's life is that he went to San Germano, which is literally at the base of the mountain of Monte Cassino, which you will never forget if you ever see it. It's this 1,000-foot mountain that rises up from the ground, and on top of it is where St. Benedict built the mother of all monasteries in Europe, Monte Cassino. And at that monastery, St. Philip probably went. That's the monastery where Thomas Aquinas was sent as a boy. That's where he got his early education. And St. Philip was at the base of that mountain, but we have no record of his interaction with the monks. The only thing we know about is that he was there at the feet of St. Benedict. And that for the rest of his life, St. Philip was really a man of primitive times. He loved the early church. He loved the life of early monks. He loved the life of a hermit. He loved the life of the desert fathers. And so there seems to have been a mark on him. When he was in Florence, he was marked by the Dominicans. But then he goes to San Germano and he seems to begin to be marked by St. Benedict. So let us ask the Lord to send saints into our lives who can really inspire us. St. Philip later would say, read books that begin with S. St. Augustine, St. Thomas, St. Anselm. We need the saints to inspire us to do what? To go for perfection. There's nothing more important for the spiritual life from one perspective than a high desire for perfection. To want to be with God, to want to be close to God, however that is. And there's not one way. St. Philip's life is going to show us there are many ways to God. St. Philip never wanted priests to lead people to God in exactly the way they were led to God. And St. Philip's path to God is going to be so mysterious that we still don't fully understand it. What's he doing? 18, leaving everything, going to Rome. Why Rome? We don't even know. Probably he passed through Rome on the way to San Germano. But he goes to Rome to do what? To be with God. To follow some other influential line of business. Come, Holy Spirit, show us the influential line of business in the kingdom of God that each of us is meant to follow. So that whether we become a famous saint or a hidden saint, we might bring many souls to you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.